Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and it's a pretty big one today. Look, a lot to talk about. And joining me to talk about literally everything is Michael. How are you, mate?
Yeah, lots to talk about, Steve. Nice to be back on. We finally reached the pinnacle of the regular season of the Super League, our favorite league and the world's best league. And also a few other things to talk about as well. But I can't forget my everyday motto. I go by it every day of my life.
Go for it.
Greek football, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, and it's given us, as always, Michael, it's given us a ton of gifts to talk about this week and from the middle of last week as well, because there were two rounds of Super League action to end off the regular season, as you said. So we'll jump right into that. But we're going to do it a little bit different today because, as I said, the regular season's over, 26 games have been played. The league will split into playoffs and playouts. So we'll go through each team from bottom to top. So we start with Bassani now. First penultimate game of the season, they had a where are the results? This is great. I can't find them. They've just disappeared. The great start. There we go. Bassani now. They lost. I mean, they lost 4-2 to AEK in Hagia Sophia, and then they drew 1-1 against the Dromidos yesterday. Bottom of the league is hugely disappointing for Bas, considering where they were last season and where they have been the last couple seasons, Michael, because they were always like a really, they're one of this, obviously not a massive team in with regards to Greek football, but they were playing some nice football. They were upsetting the big boys at times. They were causing problems, and they were just a nice kind of bright spark of the best of the rest from the last couple of years. But they've really dropped off now. And what do you think has happened with them over these last 26 games?
Here's the thing, Steve. They stuck with the guy that they thought, or maybe the media thought, that this guy was the this it's like when a let's say I'll give an example. Let's say Liverpool wins the league, right? Say the guy was so let's say it was Brendan Rodgers. Let's go with the previous manager of Liverpool, Brendan Rodgers. So he wins the league for Liverpool. The assistant manager was there with him. So a guy named fucking Bob. Let's call him Bob. So Brendan Rodgers leaves, and the guy they appoint as new manager is the assistant manager. So Bob. So he steps in that new role. So he's upgraded. And Liverpool do shit. So this is exactly what happened with Bascan. I'm not comparing decorated titles here. I'm not comparing the clubs. I'm comparing, I'm giving a scenario here where you thought that the guy that was the right-hand man was actually the pinnacle of all their work that they had put in. So it's when Iraklis Metaxas left Pasianina a year and a half ago, sorry, and Thanasis Stoikos took over his role. And you see Stoikos in the role, he's not doing a good job. The club still showed faith in his work, but it clearly wasn't going in that direction. No matter how many times Stoikos said, we're going to do some changes, no matter what players he brought in, no matter what player got their transfer out of the club, they were going backwards. They weren't making any steps forward. They kept on going backwards, and this is where they are. They are plumb last. Is it deserved? Absolutely. Transfer planning from the summer until the winter, nothing went on. There was no improvements made in any area whatsoever. And it came at a cost of Thanasis Stoikos losing his job. They didn't do any better with their appointment with Michalis Grigoriou. Not done any good there. But I think come the playoffs now, and given their season's results, I think they're up for relegation. And we've seen in the past Bassianina does come back strong. But I would have loved them to be a stable club in the Super League. But this is where they've come. I think relegation is coming for them.
And it's a shame because as you said, they're not a disliked club in the league by any means. They're not a historical club like Panionios or Heracles or your club Larissa, but and they're not a hated club either. Like, you know, a lot of people I know don't like Levadia Agos. People don't like Volos because they don't have a lot of history because they're a very new club and they might cease to exist come the end of the season themselves. But they, I mean, look, says it all. They went on a 15-game winless run from the first game of the season when they won 3-0 against Kifishian until they finally won again against Asteras on the 7th of January. That's abysmal of a run. And they hardly scored in that time too. They have some okay stand-up players like Zimas on loan from Balk. But yeah, like you said, Michael, they are where they are. And they have how many games now in the playouts to prove themselves and stay up? 7 games? I don't know if they can do it, sadly. That's
the thing, Steve. There's a bit of a difference here with the top 6 and the bottom 8. The bottom 8 gets less games. So yeah, every game counts. And I may say Bastianen is last and is relegation deserved. It is deserved if it does happen after the end of the playoffs. It's just the way they're playing their football. There's just nothing going for them. Like, it's very, very stagnant football. And I'll say the only highlight in their squad, what's his name? Carlos Soria, their right back.
Yeah.
He is someone I've been very impressive with despite their level of football. Man, he's got six assists for a right back. And he had the same amount of assists as last season. So he's been Manolis Saliaka's replacement, and they're the only player that replaced well. When they sold Perea, they never really replaced him. They brought that Joe Efford guy who a while back killed it at Ergodelis back in the second division. So they brought him in, and he's done well. He's not in the squad anymore. So there you go. He left after 6 months, as far as I know. We can point out Pedro Conde, but yeah, he's scoring a few goals here and there, but he's not the same player as he was, back, in his early 30s and late 20s. Man, he was killing it. We know that Pedro Conde that we once saw, but he's already had 2 ACL injuries in the past 3 years, and he's not the same player. Yeah, sure, he may be an influential figure, but yeah, it's not. This is not the Pasqualino we know. That this Pasqualino is down, really down, and they got a long way to go, and they need to fix themselves up quickly if they want to survive relegation.
Next, we go to a team that didn't really have the same expectations as we have with Pasqualino. It's Kifishia, who are also in the relegation zone, second from bottom. 3-3 draw with Asteras Tripolis in their penultimate game. And in their final game, it was a 2-2 draw at home to Panathinaikos. So scoring a lot, got 5 goals in 2 games, but also conceding 5 goals in 2 games. And unlike Bas, Michael, this is probably where we'd expect Kifishia to be. I don't think many people thought they would have any hope of not being in a relegation battle. I think that's where they're going to be as well come the end of the playouts as well. I think they're going down, personally.
Look, it's tough. This is really tough with Kifishia. I know they've changed coaches like underwear. They first started off with Anastasio. When he got sacked, I thought that was harsh. I think they should have stuck with him. And then they hired some bloke from Denmark, David Nielsen, who had a history of, it fitted well with the nature of Greek football, gambling and match fixing in his past. So it fitted well. Yeah. He lasted 2 months and that was it. And then they got, actually a pretty decent appointment in Kostas Bratsos. Not a bad coach. Young and upcoming. He actually shows faith in young talent, and to have him at a club like Kifishia, That's actually a pretty decent pickup by the club. So credit to them. And the thing is, Steve, yeah, they may have had losses. They may have conceded a lot of goals. Yes, they may have at times, played, they've had some disastrous displays. But they do score goals, and they do have players that provide goals. One being Ozegovic, 12 goals this season. And he's at a and Gifishar 13th. And another player I'll point out is what's his name? Matias Kachuma, Brazilian guy. Yeah, he plays behind Ozegovic, but he's actually providing him goals. He's got 6 assists to his name. So they've got a couple of players there that are actually decent. Do I think they will stay up? Maybe. Do I think they'll go down? Maybe. It's just that I think I have a little bit more faith in them surviving relegation, because we're going to go on to the next club in a short time anyway, Steve. But Kifishia had a, you know, it is where we expected them to be, fighting for relegation. It's good that they have a couple of highlights in their season at the moment. I wouldn't say they're doing very bad. It's just that this is where we expected them to be.
Yeah, I like I said, I wasn't surprised at where they ended up, and they've actually, with regards to the teams that are kind of still in contention for relegation. So I would say excluding Offi because they're in 10th, Banadoligos, Volos, Gifishia, Bastianina. They've scored the most, but they've also conceded the most as well. So it's hard to say. I mean, they've drawn 4 in their last 5, no wins in that time either. Look, they like we said, those 7 games are crucial. So we'll have to see if Gifishia can accumulate enough points to stay up. But as you were entailing, Michael, the team slightly above them on 1 point ahead of them is Volos in 12th. They've also had a really bad season by their standards, considering they were in the playoffs last year. And so let me go quickly look at their fixture. So 3-1 win over Orfi, which kind of took the pressure off them a little bit going into the playouts at the time. And they then lost 3-0 to Olympiacos in Karaiskaki. And they got a man sent off for a really dangerous challenge on Masouras. He could have taken his eye out with some of those studs, if I'm being completely honest. So correct decision from the referee, which is always nice to say. But yeah, Volos still very much in a relegation battle right now, Michael.
Well, before I want to talk about the reviewing Volos season, you pointed out that red card from Barrientos. Do you recall last year Barrientos, he came out after a match against Olympiacos that he was going to be bribed 40,000 euros just to get a red card?
Interesting.
Yeah. A year later, he fly kicks Masouras and gets red carded.
Oh God, don't start the conspiracies again, Michael. Don't start. I mean, look, let's say that was the case, it was 100% a red card. So he did what he supposedly said he was paid to do. But I'd like to hope that's not why he did it. I hope that I think he clearly did it because it was a rash decision. He did it because it was a rash decision. But I forgot about that. Goodness me.
I had to point that out.
No, it's funny.
I do remember seeing it, and I'm going, yeah, that's Barrientos. That was him. I go, didn't he come out and say, oh, he was offered 40,000 euros to get a red card? He does it a year later. It's just...
Can't write it. It's Greek football, mate.
That's it. Greek football. The gift that keeps on giving. This is where it applies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, let's get into Volo. That's another club that's changed coaches like underwear. As you said, Steve, for a team that finished top 6 last season, you expected them to do pretty much the same. Those were their expectations too this season. But their transfer planning was just all over the place. They signing players every 2 days, players getting out of the club every 2 days. Like, and you don't have the same squad, and it's a whole new team. So they started off with Kostas Bratsos, but he couldn't work with what he had. If he had the same team as he did last season, that would have done something at least. At least, you know, fight for the top 6 again.
Mm.
But then they sacked him because of poor run of results. I forgot who they hired after. I think I can't remember exactly, but I know
it's Christos was Gondis now.
It's Gondis now. But they had Angel Lopez, so they brought him back. He didn't do any better. I know he coached the club before, but he didn't do any better. So good riddance that he left, got sacked, but still, it just shows how poorly run that club is at the moment. And as we know, we've mentioned before on the podcast that Achilles Baos wants to give up the club at the end of the season. And if there's no buyer, he's going to disband the whole entity. And that would result in a third club from the second division getting promoted. And we don't know who that will be or how they'll base that upon. Could be based on points, because there's two groups in the second division.
Mm.
So I don't know how they're going to base it if it comes to that scenario. And if it actually does happen with Baos disbanding the whole club.
Well, this is the question I wanted to ask, Michael. Would it be a circle? Because we spoke about this when the news about Volos first came out. Would it be a circumstance of them, of the Super League or EBOD, depending on whose decision it would be? Would it be a team that had been relegated from the Super League gets another chance, or would they give a third? Do you think it's more likely they would give a third club in the second division the promotion to the Super League?
It would be a third club from the Super League.
Sure.
The second division, sorry.
Yeah.
So the first in this, well, who look at this. We're going to get the two winners of the Northern and South group.
Mm.
But how they're going to base that third club is the question. If Volo doesn't exist at the end of the season. That's the question that remains at the moment. We don't know what's going to happen. So it's on this story is on the rails. It's not gone. I don't think Baos is bullshitting here. He's pretty true to his word sometimes. And I wouldn't say sometimes. He's actually pretty true to his word most of the time.
Mm.
And he was like that last season with all that Greek Cup drama. And then at the end, he fucking caved in and decided for Epo to come to agreement with Epo and have the final in Volo.
Mm.
And that's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The final will be in Volos. And I know there's been talk about Oaka, but yeah, we'll get into the Greek Cup when we get to that. But it's strange with him. It's really strange with Volos. And it's such a weird thing to drop. And to ask for a buyer at the worst possible time. He should have been doing everything to find a buyer last season when they were in the playoffs. It shows the progression of the club. And now they've not even just taken a step back. They've taken five steps back. So it's just a strange thing from him. And look, Volos may get relegated. They may not even exist. And especially if they get relegated, he would walk away. Even if they stay up, maybe there's a small chance he tries one more time. But I think you're right, Michael. He's very true to his word, is Veils. So next, I guess next we go to Banadoligos. Also a slight disappointment considering how fun they were last season. I know they've had a few injuries over the course of their campaign. But yeah, Banadoligos kind of in that relegation scrap too. Their last two games were, well, it was the 2-1 loss to Olympiacos at home for them. And then they drew 2-2 with Gifisia. So, yeah, they're not the best of seasons, Michael, Banatoligos.
No, they started off very bad. And I was actually talking them up, I was actually talking about them a lot earlier in the season. How bad they were and how bad their coach was at the time. And they got rid of him, after like six rounds. Good riddance, because after the media talked him up in the summer, how, oh, he's bringing his ideas, oh, this type of football that he's going to get them playing. And then you see the type of football, what's been displayed on the pitch was just utter crap.
Mm.
They did nothing. So then they brought in Yanis Petrakis. He's somewhat a decent coach back in his day, but nowadays he's washed up. He's made somewhat an improvement to to their season, but still, they're in that fight for relegation. That's where they've been from the start. I guess the couple of highlights that they had is, what's his name? That Torrejon, the defender Torrejon, the Argentinian. Yeah, Pedro Torrejon. He's for me their player of the season. He's an absolute menace that down that left flank. Whether he's playing left wing, left back, he is a menace. And I think a big club in Greece should pick him up. They should be looking at this guy. He's actually very well all-rounded on that left flank. Four goals, four assists, but his work rate is actually bloody, bloody excellent. And they should really look.
Oh, I think Michael's dropped out there. Can't really hear him anymore. But I guess I'll continue where we left off. So, I mean, look, just as by myself right now, I guess I would say with Panathinaikos, I would say that the problem with them is they tried to sign a fair few Greeks who were formerly youth products who had a high potential, like Bagapino, Bagagis, Ikiomonu. And, you know, Mavrias, and it just clearly didn't work. They brought in Nikos Karelis last summer and that worked out for them, and they thought that they could replicate that with that, and it didn't work, but there we go.
Yes, Torrejon?
Yes.
Torrejon's, he's their player of the season, Steve. Panathinaikos. Four goals, four assists. Absolute menace down that left side. His work rate's excellent. And I think the top clubs in Greece should be looking at him. I think he's too big for a club like Panathinaikos. The way he's been putting in the performances, he's actually pretty much carrying that team at the moment. For someone on the left side to do all that, it's pretty hard work. Panathinaikos, I think that's where I expected him to be honest. Relegation, survival, that's one of the two options there. They're not out of it. They're not out of the woods yet. So let's see what they can do in the playoffs.
And as I said, when you dropped out briefly, I think their tactic was clearly in the transfer market to get former high-level youth products who didn't quite make it outside of Greece, and they bought all these formerly high-potential players back, and it just absolutely didn't work out for them. Even though it worked out with Garellis last season, it just hasn't with these guys, and I think that's the wrong move there, because you're not bringing in a team like a former winners or former players who have made it at the top level. You're bringing in former players who didn't make it. And so I feel like collectively they're not going to make it in the Super League. But I don't think...
No.
They're not favourites to go down, Panathinaikos, but they have to... Well, they have to do better if they in the playouts. So next we go to Offi. The Yo-Yo Club, Offi. they just are such a strange club to me, Michael. They're such a big club with a lot of history, but... The last few seasons, they've just been barring the first season when the playoffs were introduced, they're the absolute kings of just having a really poor third of the season, which costs them even trying to contend with the other teams fighting for the top six. So 3-1 loss to Volos in their penultimate game. Credit to them, massive draw against Panathinaikos, which really shakes up the title race, 2-2 in Crete. So... That's an encouraging result for them, I would say, for sure. But yeah, they're such a weird team, Michael, Offi.
They've been very weird since they sacked Dombrovskis.
Huge mistake.
I still firmly believe that was the most harsh sacking of the season. And it will be remaining as the harsh sacking since Aris sacked Hermann Burgos. A couple of years ago. That was another harsh sacking as well. That was another harsh one too. So in pretty similar circumstances, both guys lasted not even 10 months into the job. And yeah, for whatever reason, they lost it. But Dombrauskas, yeah, he had a dry patch of form prior to his sacking, but his idea was his, Steve, this is the thing. His idea was there. His philosophy was there. But you got to look at the bigger picture. He was only there for just 6 months. And Orphy decided to pull the pin after like a month or two of a dry patch of form. And I looked at it and I'm going, why? And especially the position they were in, they weren't in a bad position when he got sacked. He was seventh.
Yeah.
Yeah, around there. And they weren't far from the playoffs then, in terms of points. And I go, are you shitting me? What is going through Orphy's mind? And then you see the guy that succeeded Dombrauskas, the Spanish Parascos, Pepe Mel. What did he do?
Oh, abysmal.
Absolutely nothing. One win in Pepe Mel's tenure as an Orphy coach. And then when we hear that he got sacked, then we hear his potential successor, who is now the current coach, Traianos Delas. Okay, he's not had a job for 3 years, and he's actually a proven winner from his playing days. We all know.
Oh yeah, of course.
We don't need to spell it out, but if anyone wants us to spell it out, I'll spell it out for you. Euro 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Proven winner. But as a manager, yeah, maybe from his early days at Ajax as a coach. I guess you can say that. Yes, he's a proven winner. Started off great on his debut, 4-0 win against Panathinaikos. And then he's got actually a couple decent results, especially the one against Panathinaikos now.
Yes.
A 2-2 draw. Now, I wouldn't say they're getting relegated. Absolutely no way.
I agree.
I think Velas, look, I had my doubts with him, but I still do. I don't think he's still the guy for the long term. I think he's a short-term fix, which is a good thing. But for the long term, no. I think Orphy should look elsewhere. But things can change. Maybe Velas has a plan for Orphy. Maybe Velas has a plan for the summer. Let's see what he can do. First thing in the playoffs, what can he produce? And if they garner enough points more than the other clubs around them, fair. That's fair enough. I think maybe then he's the guy for the job. Let's see what he can do in the summer. Mm. What players he will bring in. What players doesn't he want? What's his philosophy going forward? Will it be any different from his previous jobs, like at Panathinaikos? He didn't do well in his second stint there, but his first time around there was okay. At Atromitos, it was very mixed feelings over there. But yeah, that's some years ago. But let's see what Velas does, and let's see what Orphis does as well in the playoffs. Let's see.
Next is a really impressive season overall for a team that I had not a lot of kind of knowledge of and no kind of expectation for where they'd finish apart from relegation. Panathinaikos, ninth place in the Greek Super League table. I wouldn't say 100% mathematically safe, but they're set to stay up, I would say. And now that I've said that they won't, because the opposite always seems to happen whenever I say anything. They lost 2-0 in their penultimate game against Balk, but then they came back and won 2-1 against Asteras Tripolis in their final game. So really, really impressive season from Panathinaikos, Michael.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For coming up after over a decade absent from the top division, and to be where they are now is impressive in itself. Because if we go back a decade, they were as low as the fourth division, and for a club like Panathinaikos to be that low was actually unheard of, because they were always a yo-yo between the first and second division, and they had a bit of time in the third division.
Mm.
But since the crisis hit Greece and all over Europe, Panathinaikos got affected severely, and they've worked their way back up. And like I said, that's impressive in itself. And look where they are right now as we speak. They are ninth, 27 points they've collected all season. At one point, they were in contention for the playoffs, the top six.
Yeah.
And then they fell off. They went on that. They went into bad form. But they are one of the few clubs to show faith in their coach, and that is none other than Pablo Garcia. So he's been there since the beginning of the season. And as we know, Steve, the nature of Greek football, clubs like to sack coaches.
Oh, don't we know it?
That's a habit that they have. So if you see bad coach there, it doesn't last a month. And I'm really happy to see the club have stood with Pablo Garcia until now. I still think he's the man going forward into next season. And he has shown his qualities back when he was at Balk, especially in the youth ranks. So, and also the players that they've got, they've actually got some decent players like Kosta Aleksic, Savas Burgos, Bileas, your boy Steve.
Yeah.
Bileas.
He's had a really good season for them as well.
Good season as well. Paskalis Stoikos, and as well as obviously none other than Amir Wada. And Hefe Bentacord, the Spanish striker. Man, these little players that we may have not have heard of, apart from Wada, they've actually put in decent contributions this season to Panathinaikos.
Mm.
And these players will be producing in the playoffs. And I have no doubt in my mind that they will survive relegation. No chance for relegation. No chance for them going down.
Mm.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, barring an absolutely poor run, I would say.
Yeah, that's it.
I guess next we go to the two that I would say are the best of the rest and almost certainly won't go down. We'll start with the Dromidos, eighth place. So they've had another weird season. They had probably I think we said it when the season was about to commence, Michael, they had such a bad transfer window overall, like in terms of like the people that they brought in, but some of those players actually turned out to be quite good for them, you know. So in their penultimate game, 3-1 win over Lamia, and then they drew, as I said before, drew 1-1 with Bastiani. Now they actually had a man sent off. Yep, he went off in the 73rd minute. But yeah, I mean, I guess I can't say I'm hugely disappointed with Adromidos, but do you think they should have been trying for the playoffs a bit more than they did this season, Michael?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was their intention from the start. And they had a guy named Chris Coleman once upon a time.
Yes.
They started off just like Panathinaikos, they started off really bad. In fact, they were actually playing the worst football along with Panathinaikos. And once they got rid of Chris Coleman and they brought in this guy named Sasha Ilić, they went on this 10-game unbeaten streak under this guy. And we're going, shit. They went on this tear and they got into contention of being in the playoffs. And this has also included their Greek Cup run. Okay, I've got my thoughts on that because they came against my club, but I'll leave that out for now because there's a lot of controversy there.
Mm.
But that unbeaten run is, I reckon that's what saved them, because after that, they fell off again. They went back to square one.
Yeah.
So they haven't really, they've improved, but they haven't taken on that improvement. They haven't made that step forward just yet. Given their current form, they may have had the win against Lamia, but they're still in the same little spot. Like I said, Steve, they're back to square one. given their form, I don't know. Anything can happen in the playoffs for them. I don't think they'll win any game with the way they're going.
Oh, really? Interesting. I mean, even if they don't, though, I think they've done enough to almost certainly stay up. They just probably need to win one or two more games, and that kind of secures them. But they've had a, it's been weird because, as you said, they went on that such a long unbeaten run with Illich, and then out of nowhere they just started to play really badly again and lose loads. So it's a weird one with that Adromidos. But yeah, disappointing season for not getting into the playoffs. But then they had such a poor start. It's not almost not surprising that it kind of came back to bite them again. So I guess now we go to the team that will feel very hard done by that they didn't reach the playoffs. Asteras Tripolis, who are back, were back for a long period of time. Because we've been saying, Mike, you know, a few years ago, they were playing some really nice football. They got into the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, at one point over the last couple of years. And ever since then, they weren't playing the best football. They were kind of didn't really have an identity bar, signing a ton of Spanish and Argentinian players. And this season, they've been really fun to watch. They've been a really impressive side overall, but they just missed out after a bit of a poor run of form, and Lamia edged them in the end. But yeah, it's a shame that they didn't quite make it to sixth place.
Just as you mentioned, Steve, the last time they did make the playoffs was under their current coach, Milan Rastavac. And that's when, back then, they did have somewhat an identity. They had that Spanish, Latin, I'd say Latin revolution.
Yes.
Literally. 95% of that squad then was Spanish speaking, Latins, and bar a few Brazilians here and there. That was the last time they made the playoffs. And they were actually playing the same football then they are now. Except, of course, which is unfortunate, they didn't make the playoffs. Mm. But that doesn't mean they didn't have a bad season. I wouldn't say bad, I would say inconsistent. And I've brought this up to you, Steve, before. They would win back-to-back, and then they'll go in bad form. Then they'll come back-to-back wins, bad form again. So that's how that was their pattern. It's like a little flat line monitor in the hospital, yeah. So to say. I don't know what they're called. That's pretty much the heart rate monitor. That's what it is. Pretty much. That's their season at the moment. And yeah, unfortunate not to make the six, but I don't think they deserve to go in the six. That's because of their inconsistency. And that's what's let them down. Although, bar their inconsistent season, what they do have players that have highlighted their season. One being the return of Nikos Galtzas. And my word, for his age, 33, and he's 30, and he's 34 very soon. Mm. My word, has he had a blinder of a season after a few years in Cyprus? Man, he's come back to Greece with 5 goals, 7 assists in 25 games. For a 33-year-old Greek player to do that, that's impressive. And given that one time, yeah, he was a freaking menace back in his day for Veria, and then he got that transfer for Panathinaikos. Then he went to Asteras, he killed it there as well. He had a pretty bad time at Panathinaikos, but that's another story for another day. But this is one guy where you say, how come this guy did not make it? And yeah, that's what I would say about him, Steve. That's the one question you put out for him. How come you did not make it? And look at him now. Yeah, 33, comes back to Greece, 5 goals, 7 assists. That's excellent contributions to not only him, but to Asteras as well. Another player I want to point out in their squad was, what's his name?
Miridello?
Yablonski, their mid-season transfer. He's come in pretty decent. He's been a handy pickup for them. And finally, their up-and-coming star, Nikos Zouglis, 20-year-old attacking midfielder. 22 games. Yes, that half of that's off the bench. But he's racked up 3 assists. He's one to watch.
Okay.
So I reckon he's the one to watch, one of the few youngsters to watch next season. And we've praised him in our little group chat, especially Apostolo. He's been having he's got an eye on him. So he's one to watch next season, and we will see by then.
And just to quickly go through their fixtures, because I forgot to mention it before, they 3-3 draw with Gifisi, as I said before, and they went down 2-1 to Banseragos. So that was their last two games of the season, of the regular season, and they will go into the playoffs. I'm pretty comfortable. I don't think they're in any worry of relegation, barring like an absolute horrid run. But I don't think anyone in between 12th and 14th will get over 30 points. So, instead of a safe, best of the rest. They can't forget any European football. Next, we go to the playoff section. So, Lamia, amazing season for them. Exceeded everyone's expectations. 34 points from 6 games. Really? Not 6 games. From 26 games, sorry. Hugely impressive from Lamia, Michael. So, 3-1 loss to Adromidos in their penultimate game. And they went down 2-0 against Balk at home. So, not a great end. And I guess almost the sad thing about this is that, Lamia in particular, is that they kind of shot themselves in the foot going into the playoffs, because we got, as the news came out last week, Garlidos has, after the Adromidos game, has left the club for €300,000 to Astana in Kazakhstan. So he's no longer there. Their star man, who was so, so important for them throughout the whole of the season, got important goals against some pretty big clubs in Greece. And also there's the other player that signed for Ajax, so he won't be able to play against Ajax in the playoffs. So I just think they're destined to finish rock bottom of the playoffs now, because all their two main men are, one of them's gone and the other one can't play for two games. So do you think they've kind of done this a bit too soon? Maybe shouldn't they wait to the end of the season to sell off all their assets?
Well, here's the thing, Steve. There is a lot of mixed reaction to the Carlitos news than there is to the Tsiloulis news. I want to say about the Carlitos news. Now, the Kazakhstan window was open by then when he got sold. So Astana picked him up on deadline day. So if Astana were willing to pay for his services and you offer Lamia 300,000, I don't blame Lamia for, you know, giving him up, especially securing, you know, well, they're about to secure playoffs. Yeah, they could have held on to him, but then again, Lamia are trying to make a profit at the moment.
Mm.
So their heads at the moment, and I don't blame them, they're thinking of profit. So that when they go into playoffs, they're making more profit. So it's actually smart business. I know it may sound crazy when I know people listen to this, but I know it sounds crazy, but it's actually smart what they've done here. Yes, Carlitos was their biggest contributor this season, their star player of the season. He's still going to get that award regardless. But at the end of the day, it is smart business. In regards to the Tsiloulis bit, now, that's on Tsiloulis. That's on Tsiloulis, all on him. Because you do not reveal to a coach where you're going. Unless you sit down with the guy, you go, Mr. Leonida, Mr. Vokolo, sorry. Mr. Vokolo, I would like to sit down and talk with you. This is my intentions next season. This is where I'm going. I am going to play. I no longer will be part of Lamia for the foreseeable future. He should have sat down and talked with him. Instead, he goes up with him and goes, oh, I'm going to Ajax. Or even better, go one better, Steve. Don't say anything at all. Because I say this, and this is where I agree when I saw the coverage by Demis Nikolaidis on a football show. I can't remember the name of the show. I keep forgetting. He said about Tsiloulis, if I was him, I wouldn't have said anything. That's another one I absolutely agree on. And he's spot on. And that, for Vokolo to reveal it in the press conference, yeah, it may have put him in a bad position in terms of being potentially sacked, as we were reading in the media, but I didn't think that was the case. I think that was Vokolo saying, I have removed Tsiloulis from all football training for the moment because he revealed me this news and I did not like it. I think that was Vokolo frustrated with the news, and I don't blame him for that. There was a lot of conspiracy surrounding this part of things, but I think Vokolo handled the situation somewhat right. So I think other people have their opinion too, but I don't think their opinion is will be wrong, because there's no right or wrong answer in this situation regarding Tsiloulis.
Well, you never know. It might mean that he, what's his name, Vokolo leaves at the end of the season. If there's been disputes with the board and with the player, you know, these things can kind of leave a bad taste. And let's see what happens with Lamia. But the opposite might happen. But I don't know if they'll do too much in the playoffs now with these kind of internal issues, because they've lost three games in a row coming into the playoffs. But next we go to the perennial fifth place team, Aris. as I said, the fifth
gonna,
place. Go on, go, go.
I was going to add in. I was going to say a few more things about Lamia.
Go, go, go.
I think, look, we didn't expect them to be where they were. I didn't expect them top six.
No, definitely.
But
not.
Look, but no, but I did highly praise their coach at the start. What he did last season towards the end, surviving relegation. They did some decent work in the summer in terms of transfers. He's got the team playing some pretty good football. I've always thought he was underrated. It's all the power to Vokolo, and as well as to the current players at the moment. If we want to talk about who is their best player apart from Carlitos, it's actually Vykintas Slivka, their central midfielder from Lithuania. 3 goals, 4 assists, an all-round footballer that you look for. Any club that will want a very all-rounded player, does the job. I do remember him from his Apollon days. He's actually a pretty decent player to have in your squad. So do they deserve top six? Absolutely. The football they played,
yes,
I reckon, has been more consistent than there was with Asteras. So yeah. Yes, well deserved.
And that's why they are where they are. Your most consistency always prevails, I guess. So yeah, we'll go to Aris, fifth place, the fifth place team, as it always seems to be in Greek football. They lost 2-0 to Panathinaikos in their penultimate game and got a very, very a very important 3-3 draw with AEK, because it shakes up the title race even more, because AEK, who have been top for a while now, are now second, and Balk, with their win against Lamia, go first. So yeah, and it was a bit of a controversial game, as it always seems to be with AEK in recent times. Not saying anything, but going to Aris, yeah, kind of where you'd expect them to be, Michael. They're the best of the best of the rest, as it were. They're better than the likes of Adromidas and Asteras and Lamia, but they're not quite good enough compared to, you know, the big four. So kind of where you'd expect them to be, Michael.
As always,
yeah,
they're like the fifth place merchants of the Super League. Any season you go through, Aris fifth, Aris fifth, Aris fifth, Aris fourth, suddenly fourth.
Yeah,
so, I mean, yeah, look, it's expected, Steve. It's the same story with them. We've discussed it many, many times with Aris. So they started off with the season with Tolis Terzis. He actually resigned from after the first game. And then they brought back their old boy, Akis Manzios, and he's got them back together again.
He got the band back together, yeah.
That as well, too. So did they pick up some results? Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
But they've had games where they should have won. And that's their downfall. So they should have been, given those games, they've had a lot of draws and some indecent losses. They should be somewhat between third and fourth place with with Olympiakos and Panathinaikos at the moment in terms of points. To be on 42, I reckon that's spot on given their given the results they had in those games. And yeah, it's expected. It is expected. I guess their highlight is Loren Moron.
Yeah, what a season Spanish, he's had.
My word. My word. This is, I'll give you a little, give you some trivia, Steve. He's actually the first Artis player to score 10 plus goals in a season. I don't know when, I can't remember what year or season, but he's the first Artis player to do so in many years.
Oh man, I can't think. I can't even think who would have beforehand, but yeah.
We're talking about 10 plus goals. So to do the last player to score 10 goals in a season was Abubakar Kamara.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
But we're talking about over 10 goals. This guy has easily surpassed that in as many games as he did. And they've got him for free from Real Betis. He scored some few goals there in Spain, but he's come to Greece absolutely killing it.
And he's top scorer of the league as well, as it stands.
Top scorer of the league too. My word, what a pickup. For me, up there as one of the transfers of the season. And probably Artis' best transfer, you know, since their promotion. After, what was it, 2018? That's probably their best transfer.
Free transfer as well. That's an absolute steal of a player. And I think the other boys should be looking at that and thinking, well, maybe we can try get him from Addis potentially, or maybe there's clubs outside who've seen how we do it. Because look, some people can say what they want about Greek football. If you're top scorer of a league, that's still very impressive. So yeah, we'll have to see what happens to Moron in the summer, because I wouldn't be shocked if he left immediately with how popular he's going to be.
Man, Addis will have a difficult time keeping hold of him. Then again, they don't really have the best replacement for him if they sell him. That's Ansari Fahd. Now, he's aged on, but that doesn't mean he's a bad player.
No, he's not a bad player at all.
He's not, but he won't be the man. I don't think he's the man anymore to lead the front. They brought back Fefadzidis in the summer. That's actually pretty decent of them. Also, another highlight of them was Michalis Panagidis, their up-and-coming rising star. For finally, Artis finally have a young player that's been given a chance in the first team. Michalis Panagidis, that's his name. Another one to watch potentially next season if they don't freaking overload their squad with foreigners. Hopefully there's a change in the summer. And I say that pretty loosely because I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we'll have to see, won't we? And also, I had a look. One of the last players to score more than 10 goals for them was actually Luis Palma last season as well. So he went on to Celtic. I forgot about that. Next, we go to fourth place, Panathinaikos. So they've only been fourth place for a match day. They won 2-0 against Addis in the penultimate game. But then they were 2-1 down against Offi at one point before Spora got them back into the game and made it 2-2, but there wasn't enough to get a win in Crete, Michael. So they've changed manager. You know, they had Jovanovic, who won them the Greek Cup the year before last, if I recall. And out of nowhere, mid-season, they sacked him. I guess maybe dropping out of Europe was a factor, but they brought in Terim, the legendary Turkish coach. And I don't know. I'm an Olympiakos supporter, so I'm probably not the best person to talk about this. Michael, you're fairly more neutral. Well, you're much more neutral than me, I guess. What do you think of Panathinaikos this season? Because it's been very topsy-turvy. They've been top. They've been everyone in the top four has been in every position at one point. So yeah, give me your thoughts on Panathinaikos' season so far.
Man, I wish Nick was here because now I'm sweating my balls off just to try and not offend the Trifilades here, you know that.
Yeah, Nick should really be here to say it, but he's not available today, sadly. But I'm sure we'll get his thoughts at some point.
like I said, my balls are sweating at the moment. And man, the sacking of Jovanovic as a neutral, Steve, that pissed me off. That really pissed me off. Because they were top of the league. I know they were knocked out of Europe, but was that he didn't get sacked because of Europe. I read that he got sacked because of a performance in the league, I think against Volo, and Alafuzo was not happy with what he saw. Something happened in that game. I can't remember exactly. Only Nicol and the other Panathinaikos boys know. Somewhere around there was trouble. And also, Jovanovic did reveal about Brignoli and his contract stand, something about behind the scenes. Then we hear about the contract standoff. And that's what Jovanovic mentioned. And then next thing you know, Jovanovic got booted out of the club. Push came to shove in a bad way, not in a good way. And then we hear about Fatih Terim getting the job.
Yep.
Was that good or bad? Who knows? But for me, what I'm seeing at the moment, I know there's been praise on the performances that Panathinaikos had under Terim has been fairly excellent. In my opinion, they've gone a bit backward because they're not under Jovanovic. They had an extraordinary derby record, but Terim, they've been losing. It's not the same under Jovanovic. Yes, they're scoring a lot more goals. Yes, they're playing much better football. But this is where it's starting to hurt them. Now in the playoffs. We're now going to commence the playoffs. They've had a very inconsistent derby record under Terim. It's not looking good at the moment. And this is where it's going to come back to bite them. Was sacking Jovanovic the right decision? For me, I will say no. It's coming back to bite them. And this is at the moment. I'm not calling shots. I'm saying at the moment. It's no. It's a firm no from me. And this is as a neutral. People can agree or disagree. It's a free world, right? And everyone has their say. Everyone knows Jovanovic was harshly sacked. It was the most harsh sacking since Leo Jardim at Olympiakos 2011, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. 2012, yeah. I think, something like that.
That's another harsh sacking in itself in almost the same circumstances, Steve. I'm sure you can come to terms with this one too, with Jovanovic. I'm sure you understand that as an Olympiakos supporter. But Steve, I think this is coming back to bite them. What do you think?
Well, look, like has been the case. What with me, Michael? For me, this season, I've been saying a lot of things, and the opposite has been happening. So I don't want to say too much. But look, what I would say is I knew a little bit about Jovanovic, obviously, with the whole amazing run he had with Apoel over 10 years ago now. And so I was surprised. I when I saw the news, I thought, nah, they can't be right. Jovanovic can't be sacked. He's had a good season with them. He's brought them back to a good place. But yeah, lo and behold, they got rid of him. And I think it's a strange one. I can't say it's the wrong one yet, because they're in the Greek Cup final. They are favourites to win that, regardless of whether Arias or Panathinaikos reach the final. And they're not out of the title race by any means, because there's now 4 points separating fourth to second to first. So I can't say that they're down and out. But it is interesting that they made that choice when they did, and it's a big risk, because I still wonder if Terim, regardless of what happens, whether they win a cup or win the league or win the double or win nothing, I still wonder whether he's going to be there come the summer. He might well be, but I don't know if that's 100%. Whereas with Jovanovic, long before the sacking, I thought this is a project manager that's a long-term appointment. But Panathinaikos made that choice, and the playoffs will be interesting, very interesting, because all of the teams now are in a very strong place overall, I would say, compared to before where it was very topsy-turvy. But next, I guess we'll, unless you've got anything else to say, we can move on to the next one, Michael.
Oh,
I
look,
guess.
if we're, I'll go away from performances for the moment and their review. I will point out, fourth this year, I knew this absolute animal this season.
Yep, unbelievable.
Man, wow, what a player we've got in our hands for the future. As well as Vaya Nidis, he's had a pretty good season too.
Yes.
And as well as, well, the return of Bacasetas, yes, he's doing pretty good there too.
Yeah, pretty decent.
Palacios has a pretty good season as well. Bernard, I know he's been talked about a lot, Bernard. I know he's not I know people have said good riddance he's going at the end of the season, but he has pretty good contributions to the season. Dragovsky's been pretty good for them as well, but I know he's had his moments, but that's because he was actually not very happy at Spezia and he wanted game time. And when he fell out of favor, that's where he requested put in a transfer, and Panathinaikos came calling, picked him up, signed on. So he's actually trying to catch on at the moment. That doesn't mean he's not a bad player. So
Yeah.
good on Dragovsky. He's actually doing pretty good there. And they've got a pretty good squad anyway. Let's see what they do in the playoffs. I know I've said at the moment that it's come back to bite them, but can they turn it around?
We'll have
So
to see.
I will eat my words at the end of the playoffs.
Let's see. Next, we go to my team, Olympiacos. 2-1 win over Panathinaikos in the penultimate game. It was a tough one. We had to come back from a goal down, as we did against Asteras in the game before that. And in the last game, we slapped up Volos 3-0. As we said, it red card very early on. Put two goals cancelled for, well, whatever reason. But we won 3-0. And we are on a very nice unbeaten run. A winning streak in all competitions at the moment, Michael. Ever since Jose Mendilibar has come in, he's changed things at the club. We're now third place. We are on the verge of playing Maccabi Tel Aviv in the round of 16 of the Conference League, which we'll get into in a bit. But yeah, overall, it's been a very weird season for Olympiacos. At one point, we were top. We've been 9 points off in fourth, and now we're 3 points behind in third. So crazy season for Olympiacos. Three managers, multiple sporting directors, many players. Oh, Michael, it's been a mess. And it's such a weird se because some people have said that before but the good times have come back in the last few weeks. This was worse than last season. And even back then, I didn't think it was. Not but just because there were some terrible managerial appointments, but I thought at least we were top at one point, and we were top for an extended period of time early in the season, and we were still in Europe as well come the new year. So that already better than last season, in my opinion. And now, obviously, now as I think definitively, it's been better than last season. So we've seen progress under Mendilibar. And yeah, I guess as an Olympiacos supporter, players like El Kabi has just been an absolute fire the last few months. He's been unbelievable. You've
Yep,
got,
absolutely. Free
yeah.
transfer too. That's one transfer that I did not bat an eye on. I actually thought that was an excellent move from you guys. And given his goal record, it's very similar to El Arabi. I knew that this guy was the man to replace him. El
Yeah.
Kabi is your man.
Yeah, and he got a lot of criticism because he started really well, and I know he tailed off a bit, but and then went after AFCON, he's just been unbelievable. But yeah, I could list off so many players that have been excellent for us, and a lot of players that have been bad for us too. But they seem to have kind of got rid of a lot of the deadwood. The problem now with Olympiacos, Michael, and I'm writing an article about this. I don't know when it's going to be released, but it's about what happens next because so many players are on the verge of having their contracts expired, and even Mendilibar, he's got a contract until the end of the season. So, we need to make sure we sign these players up. Andre Horta, who has been amazing for us in midfield since he arrived. That Podence is a man reborn again. And his buyout isn't too expensive either. But yeah, it's. I've waxed lyrical enough now, Michael. You give me your thoughts on Olympiacos overall this season.
Steve, I would compare Olympiacos' season And I don't know how you're going to react to this, but I would
Go.
compare your club season to the Reliant Robin.
The Reliant Robin,
Yeah.
the three-wheel car that could just, you can't
Yeah.
turn the corner. You can't turn
That's
a corner with that.
it. So whether you go right, you're going to roll. And whether you go left, you're going to roll too. So that's what you had with your two previous coaches. So Martinez, you start off straight. You were doing so well. Then you rolled your fucking Reliant rolled Robin and Martinez got the sack. Then you had Carvajal. So you were going in a straight line again, but you rolled to the right. That's exactly what's happened. So now, exactly this. This is why I compared your season to the Reliant Robin, because it's a three-wheeled car. You've now got your third coach, Mandilibar. He's come in 6 wins out of 6. And he's going in a straight line. Will he roll over in the playoffs? Who knows? You are one of the informed teams at the moment heading in there. And you guys, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you guys are now within a shot of the title again.
I
And if
can't
you
say it,
win
Michael. I can't say it. I can't. I
if you,
refuse to say it. I can't.
I know,
I can't say it.
if you win, I think everyone's gonna lose their shit.
Oh God, it's going to be horrendous on social media. Even from like some of our fans who just never say anything good about the club, like it's going to be horrendous.
Yeah,
But look,
it will be. I reckon, despite your, you know, I know you guys are one of the most decorated club in Greece. This will be your 49th title, right?
I think it's no 48th title.
Okay. Your 48th title will be your most shithouse title ever.
Oh God, 100%. If it was to happen, because I like even with Europe, I can't say that we're gonna get. I know we're going to Europe in a bit. I can't say we're gonna get past Maccabi Tel Aviv. I won't let myself, because if I say it, Michael, I promise you the opposite will happen. So I am saying nothing. Even if Olympiacos are top at some point in the playoffs, I'm not saying anything until all the games are done. That's when I can say we've done it. If we and you know what. If we continue on this trajectory and don't win the title, at least we have the optimism for next season, where we might actually be a bit finally be building something compared to, well, they tried to build with Martinez, and they just dropped it after no time at all. So with Mendilibar, they need to invest in this manager. They find whether it's pure luck or just actually scouting for the right coach that will actually fit the club. They've got a good manager there who has got good players, who is playing a great style of football and is fun to watch. And we're doing things in Greece, but also in Europe as well, which we haven't done anything in Europe for a few years now. Even if it's the Conference League, like I'm one of the was one of the few people early doors who it, not excluding I'm not talking about us, but in the UK that wasn't sniffing at the Conference League like it was a shit tournament until West Ham won it, and all of a sudden it was a great competition. You know what I mean? Like I'd love to go further in the Conference League, but there we go.
I think you guys are good within a shot. I think you guys are a good chance against Maccabi. I think you guys will get it done like you guys did against
We'll see.
Ferencváros. So,
Similar kind
yeah,
of situation, yeah.
all the power to you, man. Like, I think you guys will do well in the conference.
Okay, well, now that I've waxed lyrical about Olympiacos, people can now skip to wherever they want to listen to now. But we go to AEK Athens, the champions, second place after 26 games. They were top for a while, like I said, Michael, but they was 4-2 winners over Bas in the penultimate game. The VAR miraculously turned off for a few minutes when a handball goal went in.
Oh,
I'm not saying any more about that. I'm not saying any more.
Steve. Now that you brought it up, here I am going to step in and say there was no handball. It was just the way, what's his
It
name?
was the
Pontsi
look. I'm
headed it.
kind of taking the piss.
Yeah.
The angle wasn't great for the camera, but it's not necessarily the goal that went in that was interesting. It was the VAR switching off for like I don't know how many minutes it was, but that was a strange one. But
Yeah.
I guess just to quickly mention their last game, obviously, 3-3 against Aris. They had to come back from 2-1 down to make it 3-2, and then Aris scored an added time to make it 3-all. And so they bulk pipped them to the top as it stands. So They've had a weird season, haven't they, Michael? Because they've lost one game all season, and that was against Offie when Dabrowskis was there. So it's really strange with Ag, because I think they do look good still, but it's not, they don't look quite as good as last season, do they? But I also still think they could very easily retain the league, for sure.
Oh yeah, look, their football, look, there's been at times where they've had lapses of concentration. We've talked about it in the past with Ayak, but Ayak have been the same as last season. This is when this is I think this is how Almeida has his football. And I think that's just how it is. That's just how it is. Sure, there needs to be a few tweaks, but I think after January is where they got their shit together, because they're actually on a long unbeaten run. And I
Really
can't
long.
ha really long
Well, they
since.
last lost to Offie. That was literally the last time they lost a game, and that was like
So,
October, like
yeah,
November, early late October, early November, I think. So it's they've
that
yeah,
was
their
it.
run's crazy.
So they are
Yeah, it was early
the
October.
informed. Yeah, they are the informed team, Steve. But then again, another one above them is also informed, bar a couple of bad results. But I think the odds are on Ike at the moment, despite being second and 1 point off. But the type of football they're playing, yes, okay, at times they can drop off, but they will hit you back. They'll come back and hit you like a snake bite. And that's Ike. That's Ike. They'll hit you with venom, they'll fucking kill you off in the game, and they'll win with 3 points. That's Ike for you. And that comes at the cost of having players in your squad like Ponce, who's gone on a fucking goal scoring spree lately. Eliasson is another player that's under the radar for them.
Yeah, very
My
underrated
word.
player.
My word, he's having a season. Amrabat too, for given his age. 6 assists, 4 goals this season. Domagoj Vida, my word, he's a stalwart at the back for them.
Levi
He's
Garcia
got
when he's
four.
fit as well.
Levi Garcia too. Their mid-season transfer, Robert Ljubicic, he's come in. He's already contributed to the club already with 2 goals. Jonsson has been a stalwart for them in the midfield. Man, they've got their shit together. So I've had that point of the season where you go, oh, they're not going to win the league like that. They need to get their shit together. And they have. And they're ready for the playoffs. They are absolutely ready. My word. My word. If they can get Levi Garcia, Ponce, Amrabat, Eliasson all starting together, they're going to, I reckon, if they can keep that combination going, they can win the league, no problem.
It's going to be like, this is why the playoffs, this could be, this is why I hope that no off the field rubbish affects things, or like even controversial decisions, with VAR. This is such an exciting season in Greek football, the most exciting, even more than last year, because all four of the big boys are in contention for the title. Anyone could win it, and this is what we've always wanted as fans of Greek football. Take club allegiances aside, and I hope that nothing dodgy happens in the playoffs, but it feels like it will, and I feel it's going to spoil it. But I really hope that's not the case, Michael. I really, whoever wins, it's just, I want it to be legitimate, and I want it to be like a great, like a really, it would be a really like kind of roller coaster playoff period. But I don't know. Anyway, we go to the top league leaders, Balk. Really impressive football. Probably overall the best football of any of the big four this season. And their European record this season speaks for itself as well. But yeah, top of the league. They 2-0 winners over Panathinaikos away from home in their penultimate game, and 2-0 winners against Lamia away from home team. So it's very consistent the last two games of the season for them. After having a little bit of a blip, they lost 4-1 to Olympiakos in Dumba, and they got knocked out of the Greek Cup by Panathinaikos. But overall, they've had a good season in their top, Michael. And you've got to give full credit to Răzvan Lăsescu. They're playing some really good football. Constantelias, obviously the standout for me, shining light of the future of Greek football. Such a good player.
Definitely the best Greek player of the season in the Super League, of course. We're not talking, we're not including Greeks abroad here. But if there was the one player that's the best Greek in the Super League, it's Kostandelias. No question about it. Aside from him, other players around him too. Tyson, my word, for his age, my word, Jesus, 10 assists. Okay, he's lacking the goals, but that doesn't matter. I don't care about his goals. He's providing for the goal scorer, 10 assists, and he is 36 years old. My word. He can keep on going until he's 50, if not 100, the way he's playing his football. An excellent player they brought in from last season. I can't, as a neutral, I would not complain about him. Zivkovic too, contributing as always. Their midfield dynamo, Magomed Ogioia from Russia. An absolute steal from Turkish club Karagümrük. He's doing well for them.
And Despotov.
Baba Despotov too. Another player that's been on top form. Abdulrahman Baba, top form as well. Kouliarakis, Kedjiora, Yoni that they brought from Wolves. He's been pretty decent for them lately. But the only disappointment for them, I guess, is Samata.
But Nick told us about Samata, and I remember him at Villa as well. He's been a poor one this season.
He is the odd one out, and they need, for going forward, they need Brandon to start as many games as he as they can for the playoffs. Samata, I did question it at the start of the season. Is he the man going forward? Clearly not. Get rid of him in the summer. He's not that player as he was before Villa. In terms of their football, can't complain about it, bar a few results, especially the one against Olympiakos where they lost 4-1 at Tumba. But hey, they've got the playoffs coming up. They're the ones leading the way, and it is theirs to lose. We are in for a roller coaster, Steve.
Not just because all the big four will take points off each other, but even Lamia at a slightly weaker state without Carlitos and Aris, they can easily nick points off the others to cause more issues for the big four going for the title. So it really is going to be a super exciting playoffs this year. And so, just to end off that really this really long tangent on the Super League, we'll go down the table before we finish up. So, top is Balk on 60 points. Second is Icons, 59. Third is Olympiakos, 57. Panathinaikos is fourth on 56. Aris on 42. Lamia on 34. Asteras Tripolis on 31. Adromitos on 28. Panathinaikos on 27. Ofi on 25. Panathinaikos and Volos on 20, and in the relegation zone is Kifisia on 19 points and Bassianina on 18 points. So that is the end of the Super League regular season. The league will split off, and the fixtures, I believe, Michael, will be announced today at some point. I think middle of the day they'll announce them. So I'm sure we'll put something out when we can about that. And because obviously this has been a really long episode of the Play Less Football podcast, we'll go through the last few things very briefly. So obviously, we've got the Greek Cup second leg for Aris Panathinaikos. That's on Wednesday night. So Aris 1-0 up on aggregate, should go through to the final, Michael. But if you give me something very brief about that.
You never know, Steve. Anything can happen.
Yep, it's
Anything can happen.
magic of the Greek Cup, as it were.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Look, if Aris make it, good on him. If Panathinaikos make them, good on him. I really couldn't care less who comes up against Panathinaikos. All I know is that the final is nowhere to be played.
No, once again, there is no home for the Greek Cup final. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be announced like, I don't know, the day after or something. Like they'll play the game like on a in a grassy knoll or somewhere, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, by the way, it should have been there. Okay, well, you should have said that before. Anyway, we'll go we'll, like as I'm breezing through, we'll go to the We'll go to the Conference League next. We'll go to Europe. So as we said, Olympiacos play Maccabi Tel Aviv in Gareskaki first leg, and Balk also, Balk actually travel away to Zagreb to play Dynamo Zagreb. They will not be supporters. There will not be away supporters for either game, as far as I'm aware. Obviously, with the issues that occurred in the qualifiers for the Champions League between AEK Athens and Dynamo Zagreb, the UEFA decided that only home fans would be allowed to attend. With Olympiacos Maccabi Tel Aviv, it was interesting because at first there wasn't going to be any fans for the away leg at all, and it would be hosted at Bakadopola Stadium in Serbia, which Olympiacos already played in. But now it sounds like there will be supporters for both games. So we'll have to see. Michael, any thoughts on the first leg for both teams?
Like I said to you, Steve, during the Olympiacos review, I think you guys have got the nod. That is if you guys can keep your heads together. Balk, a much more tough challenge, because what we saw with Dinamo against AEK, AEK had to work for it. And it's going to be the same for Balk. But I have no doubt in my mind Balk will carry through. They, given their runs in the Conference League, I think they've got the nod too, but they got to be very wary of Dinamo, because they are no pushovers. They are a tough, tricky side.
For sure. Yeah. And look, we'll have to see what happens with them. It'd be great to see. Well, I mean, as an Olympiacos fan, I'd love to see us in the first quarterfinals for nearly 30 years. But I think for the coefficient, it'd be great if both teams got to the quarterfinals, preferably not playing each other, because then that means that the coefficient will go down even more. But yeah, it'd be great for both teams. I think looking at the Maccabi game, it's tough because Robbie Keane, their manager, was actually at the game again that we won against Volos, interestingly. But it's with them, it's strange because we are we're the slight favourites on paper for this game, but they are also the team that were the last team to knock us out of Europe completely in the Europa League qualifiers in, I think, 2010-11. So, and that was pretty bad on away goals. They knocked us out. We had no Europe that season. That's the last time we haven't been in Europe for a whole season, Michael. So there's a lot of scars with Maccabi Tel Aviv. So no guarantees with them. And they finished top of their group for a reason in the Conference League, even though it wasn't a difficult group. You know, they're still against to contend with, and they deserve to be where they are. So they're not no pushovers. And as you said, with Dynamo Zagreb, they're a hugely historical team in Europe, and Balk will have it tough. But Balk have beaten tougher teams than them in this season, that being Frankfurt in the group stages. So yeah, that's our very brief European preview. So lastly, Michael, we go to Greeks Abroad. So we've waxed lyrical about him a lot this season, but Christos Solis, what a season he's having for Düsseldorf. He scored a brace in his most recent game for them. And quite frankly, we've been saying in the group chat, it would be a crime for Gus Poyet to not call him up at this point. And yet, I have a feeling Gus Poyet won't call him up. I don't know. What do you think, Michael?
I don't care if it's second division in Germany. The German second division is just as competitive.
Yeah.
And look, Zonis is still young. He's 21. So he's 21. He's 21, 22 this year. And I did mention to you guys some weeks ago that he's not eligible anymore for the under-21s team for Greece. But I think Alain came up and said something about, no, he's still eligible under the FIFA ruling. He can still play until he's 22.
Yeah, they allow a year. Yeah.
And I go to myself, that's bullshit. That is such bullshit. That is manipulation. But then again, why doesn't Poirier say, no, Mr. Christos Tolli, you are now in the first team. You are no longer needed in the under-21s. And in my opinion, I don't think he's needed anymore. And I think everyone can say the same too. He's not needed for the under-21s. Let the other youngsters be the starlight for them. We want Zoilis in the first team. And that's what I want Poirier to do. Just say, no, you are now a first team player. You've proven yourself enough. And I want that now. Not for the Euros if we do qualify. I want that now for the playoffs for the Euro against Kazakhstan.
Mm.
I want that now.
It's tough, isn't it? Because
yeah,
he has scored. Looking at the Greece under 21's record in the last year, he scored a lot of those goals. But then these are the biggest games in for the national team for a long time, and we have to qualify for Euro 2024. It'd be a catastrophic failure if we don't make it. Considering we're probably I'd say we're probably on paper the best team in the playoffs. You know, I know Georgia have a couple of really good players, but still, like we this shouldn't be a question. Like Greece should qualify for the Euros, but on paper again, as I should say, no guarantees. But yeah, Zolis needs to be part of that.
The thing is, Steve, you need the best in your squad. Zolis is there. We're in dire need of wingers, and Zolis is killing it. And if he's not picked, it is criminal. It's just simple, pretty simple, really. There's no other explanation to it. Poirier, if Poirier is questioned on it, he must have a really good answer. And if it's a really good answer, I'll take it.
Mm.
But we know
there'll
Poirier.
Be a good answer, though. That's the question.
We know Poirier, Steve, and everyone else that follows the Greek national team, the ethnic Euromotha. We just know what his answer will be because he said it with Duvikas and Fortunis. We didn't like it. I'm rest assured he's going to do the same with Zoli if he doesn't call him up, which he won't.
Yeah.
And it'll be a shame.
A massive shame because we need all our good players to be in the team. That's the problem. You can't leave out your. I mean, I've said this, and look, I'm not a anti-Poyet individual. Like I have seen online, but I do still have this issue that's been ongoing ever since he started with the national team. Is that he doesn't allow himself to have those plan Bs and Cs. Like even if he doesn't start Zolis, imagine having him on the bench and having him as an option to bring him on for a big game like this. Like it's you're not allowing yourself to even try to compete for the Euros if you're not bringing your best players. And you need a mixture of players you trust and a mixture of players in form. And Zolis is both, I think. For any other manager, it would be both. But look, there we go. That's Christos Zolis. He's had a really good season. And hopefully he gets a big move somewhere else, whether Dusseldorf get promoted or not, because by the sounds of it, they are going to cash in on him, regardless of what happens to them in the second Bundesliga. But Michael, that's it. We've been here for an hour and a half, Michael.
We come to the end.
Yes.
Yay, we come to the end.
That's it. We've done it. It's been we appreciate anyone who's stayed this long to listen because it is a long podcast. We do try to keep it to an hour, but there's so much to talk about. And obviously there'll be a lot. I presume the episodes will be a lot shorter once the playoffs start because we'll mainly be focusing on the playoffs and talking a little bit about the playoffs. Maybe even talk about the second division as well. Once it starts to heat up there, Michael, which would be good for you to be on for to talk about Larissa. But guys, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate all the support you've given us. I think we recently hit 15,000 followers on Facebook, Michael. So that's pretty massive, actually. So really thank you very much for that. Keep following us and interacting with us whenever 60, you get the chance.
Sorry, Steve.
It's 16,000. Oh my God, yeah. It's 16. Right, well, yeah, even we really, really appreciate all the support we get on all our social media platforms. And if you haven't recommended the podcast to someone yet, please do and leave us a 5-star review. Get them to leave us a 5-star review because it bumps us up in the charts and gets more people listening to us. And we love doing what we do. And it's just hearing that, 16,000 followers on Twitter. It's really, really encouraging to hear. Facebook, Twitter.
Same thing.
Basically,
we got a lot of followers.
Yes. Yeah. If we do say so ourselves. Yeah, we do. But yeah, thanks guys for listening. And we really appreciate it. And we'll catch you in the next episode when the playoffs begin. See you guys then.